different, that we didn't create statements of this or that, but that we started a journey of just learning and understanding. And part of that was about learning language for some of our team. Part of that was about allowing language to be expressed in our spaces. Part of that has been about trying to understand what is this context that we are living in and working in. Whoa. Hi. So as we have been on this journey, we are blessed to have a great resource up at the Baptist Union, the National Support Office, and they're here to support the Baptist Churches of New Zealand. And they heard about what we were doing, and they offered to come down, and I've tried to pay for stuff, but it hasn't worked out. I might just get the bill afterwards. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. We have Luke Carmorgan, who is Te Pō Arataki mō te hikoi. He is the guide for the Baptist Union on this treaty journey, and he's been involved in the Baptist Church for... Oh, I'll let you introduce yourself later. I'm not going to introduce you. But we are so blessed to have you here. And also Charles Hewlett, our national leader, who's been taking the Baptist Union on an amazing journey that we have been so exciting to see, even though we know it's a difficult one and it has its challenges, but we are blessed that you are taking people on that journey and you're giving us also the courage to do the same thing by what you have done and the way that you are leading. And so they offered to come down and we said we'd love to. We had spent a great time with them, with the elders last night. We had 3 to 4 hours with them and it was really, really amazing just learning and hearing. They've got an amazing story of working together. And today we have invited them to join us on a panel to come and just answer. We've kind of got 3 main questions that we pulled out of last night that we thought would be really useful for today and what it means to be on a bicultural journey for us today. So without further ado, can we give them a hand as we welcome them up to the stage. So I'd love you to introduce yourselves, if you may.
Kia ora, nei rā te mihi ki a koutou katoa I tēnā tā, te hāhi I riri o Papa Nui, ki te haukainga, ngā mihi nunui ki a koutou, ngā rangatira. Me ngā kaumātua kuia, God bless you this morning. Good morning. My name is Luke Carmorgan. I am privileged to be... Te Pō Arataki mō te hiko is a very long title and role description, but it's the joy of being able to just give guidance to the nature of the relationship that we have. Contextual to Aotearoa New Zealand, like nowhere else in the world, but the great joy of doing the thing that Christ calls us to, which is to the beauty of relationship, covenant relationship together. So my name's Luke. I whakapapa, or I am connected to a place on one side of me where there's a mountain called Karioi. Lots of stories around Karioi Maunga, and beautiful stories, but part of my identity. Karioi is my maunga. We have a beautiful harbour called Whangaroa. But some of you will know that harbour as Raglan, which is in the North Island, on the west coast, in the area of the Waikato. Beautiful harbour. If you go out to the ocean beaches, that's where people come from all over the world to go surfing. But not me. I'm not a surfer. Beautiful part of the country. We have a marae there called Poihakana. Excuse me. Poihakana marae is the marae that I whakapapa to. And the land there, it's a beautiful land, rich land, is called Te Kōpua. Well, there's numbers of names, actually. But part of our land there is called Te Kōpua. Yes. Lots of stories there. Lots of identity there. However, I was born in a place called Papa Nui. in 1966. Thank you to the Salvation Army in a place called Bethany, somewhere, wherever that was, in this suburb. And then I was adopted, and I left Papua Nui and went to Burwood for 12 years. And we were in, my family, my adopted family, were in an Assemblies of God church in Sydenham. At the time, does anyone know where Sydenham is? And so I grew up in a church there. We ended up at New Brighton, and the church at the time was called New Brighton Christian Centre. And then at 12 years, or I was probably still 11, we moved to the North Island, to Rotorua, the thermal wonderland. And that was my first connection to the Baptist whānau. It was like a culture shock going from a Pentecostal church into a Baptist church. But I just didn't know at 12 years old that God was doing a weaving journey and another kind of adoption for me into our Baptist world. And so now I'm not 12, but I've been in this whānau for many, many years. And I'm blessed to work alongside of Charles Hewlett, our national leader. Mōrena whānau.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Charles Hewlett tuku ingoa. I like to say I'm chosen. That's who I am, I'm chosen. Do you know, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells me that I'm actually God's workmanship. Created by him to join him in his mission. I'm getting even better. Luke 12, beautiful scripture about me. God knows me so intimately that he knows the number of hairs on my head. And Romans 8 tells me that nothing in all creation is able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So that makes me pretty special. That's who I am. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and just tell them that you're chosen? Because it's not just true of me, it's true of everyone in the room. Just tell them how special they are. We live in a world, don't we? We live in a world that tells us a lot of lies. You don't dress correctly. Your skin's the wrong colour. You don't have enough education. You don't have enough likes on social media. You don't wear the right clothes. We just got to expose these as absolute lies. I love to introduce myself. Like everyone in this room, I'm a chosen child of God. Yeah. I come from a small farming town called Martin. You've heard of it? Yeah, wow. In the Manawatu. And so my mountain is Ruapehu. Rangitike is my river. Yeah. Currently I'm living in Auckland and married to Joanne. And my role is the national leader of the Baptist churches in New Zealand. Prior to that, I had a number of years at Carey Baptist College. I was principal there for about 8 years. So, man, it's good to be here today. Thank you for the invitation. Yeah.
And you should be coaching the All Blacks by now. Is that where your career should have gone? Yeah, okay. Yeah, won't talk about that. Great. We are curious today. There's a lot of different thoughts around, you know, what does it mean to be on a bicultural journey? What does Te Tiriti or Waitangi mean in a church space for New Zealand? There's obviously been a lot of political stuff happen in the last wee while as well that has kind of raised the profile of things and maybe made us all think about where we should be and what we should be doing, both good and bad. But you guys have been on this journey for quite a while, and we are interested to hear why. Why are you on this journey? And why do you think it's important that we should be on this journey of understanding what it means to be treaty partners, and especially as the church? What's the church got to do with it?
I think we're all on this journey just by nature of being in the land that we are, because we're built on that commitment, on that relationship together. So we can not know anything about it or choose to know something about it. We can engage with it or not, but we're just by nature of being in Aotearoa, New Zealand, a part of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, or the Treaty of Waitangi. I'm committed to it because Christ calls me to be committed to it. I realise that our peoples are better together if we're willing to do that journey, which means that we have to go on a bit of a learning expedition, but we're better together. And there's something about genuine unity and oneness that has the blessing of life that the scriptures talks about, and that was actually the original intent for Aotearoa New Zealand. We were always going to be better together. So I feel compelled by God's Spirit to do whatever it takes to be a good partner in this journey.
I think for me, Adam, my mind immediately goes to Scripture. And I don't know if you've got your Bibles here with you. You might want to look at a verse with me, Ephesians 3, verse 10. Have you got your Bible there? Ephesians 3, 10. In this passage, Paul is talking about the church. And what's its purpose? What's the value of the church? What's our role? Why are we here? And it's a question that gets asked a lot even today. What's it all about? What's the purpose? And Paul writes here, Ephesians 3:10, his intent was, that's God's intent, was that now through the church, the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Oh my goodness. The church, us, we have this role of displaying the wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Our existence, our conduct, the way that we treat one another is making known how wise God is and how incredible his plan of salvation is. His intent was that now, through the church, the wisdom of God should be made known to the powers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And do you know what the context is? And where this verse is written? That's the coming together of the Jews and Gentiles. Just look back there a little bit at verse 6. Ephesians 3:6, it reads, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. The rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, they watch on in amazement. And they think, oh my goodness. Look, the Gentiles and the Jews have been incorporated into a new community in the church. How wise of God to create such a united body out of such a diverse group of people. And you look at what's happening in the world at the moment. And you see what God has managed to do within the church. Just remarkable. How wise is God? How wise is his plan of salvation? And I think this is why this bicultural journey is so important to me. It needs to be so important to the Baptist family of churches in New Zealand. Our existence as a diverse, yet harmonious group of people worshipping God together is the means by which we demonstrate his wisdom to the world, to the rulers and authorities. And I can just imagine God up there in heaven. He'll say, come on, Satan. Come over here, Satan. I'm not sure if Satan will be up there, but you know, come over here, Satan. You have a look down there. You have a look down there at that church in Christchurch. You look at that Māori student walking into the church. You look at that non-Māori woman. Watch her walk over. She's walking over to that Māori girl, and she's giving her a hug. And she's embracing her, and she's welcoming her. And Satan, you have a look down there. You look at how Māori and non-Māori elders are working together to see kingdom come in that part of the city. I can imagine God hearing a bit of noise up there. And he walks past the angel's quarters. And he pokes his head in and he says to Michael, the archangel, well, what's going on? What's all the noise about? And Michael will say to God, you know what? We got the telescope out. And we put it down there. And we've been watching Papa Nui Baptist Church. And they're all together. And they're worshipping you as one. And we got excited. And we started saying, how great is God? How wise is his gospel? How clever he is. His intent was that now through biculturalism at Papa Nui Baptist Church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known. What could be more important than displaying the wisdom of God? And we have this wonderful covenant at the heart of who we are as a nation that can help us be reconciled, that can help us be restored together. The things that are at the very heart of God and the purpose of his gospel. Why wouldn't we want to be part of that? That's what drives me.
Do you have a follow-up question to that? Or?
No, I think after that we can all go home. I think that was, fairly good. It was fairly good. We'll mark him later. That's really exciting, and what that gives me is a sense of excitement at being drawn into a picture of just peoples where we're all thriving, where it's not me versus them, it's not one or the other, but it's a group of people, a diverse group of people, thriving in God. But I also get the sense that the path to that is fraught with difficulties and maybe some dead ends. Can you speak to that at all?
Is that written down in those questions?
Yes.
Yep.
In my writing.
Oh, we put and follow-up questions, sorry.
This is the wonderful thing about being Baptist, if that's a thing. Turns out it is a thing. The commitment to seek the mind of Christ together, that's an actual anointing to be able to seek what's the will and the purpose of the Lord. For us to take that, if we don't do this over this subject matter, if we don't actually decide to get together and pray, to prayerfully discern how is God giving leadership in the nature of this relationship, we're going to get it wrong. We're going to end up in a dead-end street. It's going to be who's right and who's wrong. Who are the winners and who are the losers? There's something about the beauty of seeking the mind of Christ that we're committed to together that will give us the way of life. If you think about the words Te Tiriti o Waitangi or the Treaty of Waitangi in Aotearoa, that's a covenant, but it's a covenant that's been weaponized. People are afraid to talk about Te Tiriti o Waitangi. The media has done a job on it. If you think about in the end, what it's just simply saying is we're better together and we can do this. It's about relationship. But we've made it about the law. And now when people talk about it, in our thoughts we're thinking winners, losers. We get afraid. We think about racism. We think about terms that make us feel extremely anxious and nervous. And sometimes we've allowed our own hearts to become hostile. We haven't done the work that maybe Jesus would call us to so that we become life givers on the subject, that we would actually carry the good news components of what it could be if two is better than one. My challenge, I think, what I would fear in this area the most is that we won't seek the mind of Christ together. But there's a thing about being Baptist that says that's what we're committed to. We're going to work this out in the presence of God. We're going to work this out in the place that's powerful prayer and the pursuit of the will and the purpose of God. Because anything happens out of that space, that's where the miracles unfold. And how wonderful to take the toxicity out of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. How wonderful to see how God was at work as the idea even of that document was in God's heart. Our missionary community were very much present to the formation of that document. Imagine if our church communities were bringing life-giving thought and presence and action to that story. But we'd have to do it together. And we'd have to do it in the presence of the Almighty God as we seek the mind of Christ. Is that too long?
No, I have now 7 follow-up questions to that, you know, but I have to choose one of them. I'm going to give you a break for a moment. I'm going to come back to Charles, just riffing off that a little bit as well. I'd love to read your Bible, telescopes and everything, and I'd obviously, I don't know if you've written in the margins or you've just got extra pages. But anyway, as you imagine the Jews and Gentiles coming together, were the Jews having to become the Gentiles, or the Gentiles were becoming like the Jews, or how do you imagine, given you've got probably some insight, how do you imagine that looked, and what was the message that that Paul was giving them?
I don't think what we're being called to here, Adam, is all being the same. I think Philippians 2 calls us to being like-minded, and I'm not suggesting that that you give up your identity. Culture, things are important. I think what it looks like to me is a community who have their eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. And I think that's where we get our that's where we learn how to live together. That's how we will learn how to treat one another. That's how we are to lead. And so I don't think that it's a case of giving up, but I think it's making sure that we have the right right priorities.
Yeah.
And Paul says, doesn't he, that everything else is rubbish compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus.
Mm.
And so, yeah, so the challenge is don't get sidetracked. Well, I was going to say things that aren't important. They are enormously important. This would be my biggest fear. The fear is not that I'm going to be called a racist or a benevolent colonizer, or that I'm going to be called liberal on the other side, or someone who hasn't got their eyes on the gospel in Jesus.
Or woke.
Or woke. I'm not worried about. My fear would be that you'll miss out on the beauty. You know, I mean, they call me national leader, but we're a team. We work together. Imagine if I didn't have that. How do we know how to work together as a team? Because we have our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Mm. And what did he say? Mark 10:35. 35. One of the disciples wanted to sit on the left, and one of them wanted to sit on right. On the right, no, not with you, Jesus said. Who wants to be great amongst you? Serve. And see, when you have your eyes on Jesus, you know, these are this transforms community. Mm. And these are the things that become important. And we're learning to do that together. And there's the beautiful richness that hopefully we are personifying a little bit, this covenant idea. Mm. That would be my fear, that you'll miss out. I was principal of a theological college for a number of years, and we were on this journey together. And we decided that we wanted to go. And so we went to the Māori learning provider down the road, and we just sat with them. And we just watched them. And man, I learned about community. I learned what it was like to provide food. I'd never seen so much food before in my life. I learned how to honor people. And I think I would be petrified. Not that you would be called colonizers or that you'd be called woke, but I'd be petrified that you would miss out. I think this treaty helps us understand, gives us a glimpse into the beautiful things that Jesus is calling us to in his kingdom. So I probably haven't answered your question very well, but it's not telling you to leave your culture behind.
Yeah.
But I think it's calling us into something far, far richer.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Did you want to add anything to that, Luke, or you don't have to? I could move to another.
Next question.
Do you have a question you'd like to ask? I'll take that. And I guess you've mentioned fear a little bit, and I have observed that some people are afraid of different things. And as you said in the media, we kind of hear a lot of talk. Someone said on Tuesday night, they said, look, we hear so much said about titiriti. It's because of titiriti, it's because of this, it's because of... And we just hear the word titiriti, but how many of us have actually looked at what it is? And how many of us have actually been taught about, what that actually is? And I've seen, sometimes I hear of people being afraid of different things. What are the fears that you've seen that people have? And is there something to be afraid of as we try to work together as a bicultural community?
Well, I think I've mentioned the thing I would be afraid of is that we don't seek the mind of Christ together over this. I think people are afraid of losing, that there will be winners and losers. I think people are afraid of what can happen in that conversation as informed by outside sources. It's a difficult journey when you're talking about issues of justice or injustice, when we don't see eye to eye on the stories. In the early years, I was in a Pentecostal church, and across the Pentecostal movement, if you were going to be Māori and Christian, you were never to go to your marae again, because that's an evil place. Remember those days? You were not allowed to go there because of the carvings. They were going to be demonic. There was a lot of stories about that. So when I first was exploring identity as Māori, I was having to navigate through that reality that my church taught me, that those were evil places, wherever Māori might... So you have to remember, marae is the hub of Māori society. It's an evil place. That the culture, the way of being, because that's, hey, culture's just the way we do things, that's evil. Even for our movement, it was demonic. And there was gonna, we were going to have to be delivered of Māori warrior spirits. Some of you remember any of that? I don't think that was our Baptist world, but that was the world that I came from. That narrative has had to be confronted and addressed. Even that was a really hard conversation to have. Who was responsible to call unclean something that God might be calling clean? And finding ways to purify, just like we sung this morning. I had to learn that the carvings on our marae was like going to the library. They were just telling story. They weren't gods. They weren't evil. They were just ways of capturing our story as they were creating beauty. That took me a long time to navigate through that and to take the sting of wrong teaching out and to replace that with truth. That's a fear for some people. What does Māori spirituality look like? And how are we going to be in the same room having those discussions? There's so many layers of fears that can be present, sometimes because we've been taught things that might be wrong, or sometimes because we just have an ignorance and we don't know. A beautiful thing that Māori Christians have had to do is to take the narrative back and to begin to work out in the presence of God what is clean, what is unclean. We've really had to take responsibility for that. We've had to mature in our faith and our understanding of the scriptures, in our spirituality, to be able to sit there, and we're on that journey today. Those become fearful things for people that at the moment don't necessarily know, and they can become confusing in situations like a local church, like here. Is that helpful?
Yes. Thank you. Colleen
has a... So in churches, you've been on a journey, so, and there, I know there are a lot of Māori around the motu who have been on their own journey. I come from Tamaki Makaurau, and there are a lot more Māori in the North Island. Down here, often I can be walking around, I can visit places, I can visit little Christian communities, and I don't see any Māori involved. Is there value? What value do you see in still being on that journey, bringing in te reo? Is there space? Is there a reason to be on the journey and keeping te ao Māori forefront in our minds? Maybe you could speak to that one, Charles.
It's a big question, eh? Because I think that's what heroes of the faith do. Heroes of the faith make bold decisions that affect the future, not just the here and now. And this would be a massive challenge that I'd love to give you as a church here. Why don't you take your Bibles out again? Because I just go to Hebrews 11. And you know, you've got this beautiful summary of all the heroes of the faith. And who have we got listed here? Oh, everyone. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. Gideon, David, Samuel, and so many others. And if you look at verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth. And if you go down a little bit, a couple of verses there, it says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. And I think heroes of the faith make big life decisions that impact the future and not just the present. So what I'm saying here, Colleen, is you give to a building program, even though it mightn't be finished in your lifetime. You bring the young people onto your leadership team now, even though you can only see a little glimpse of the leadership potential that is in them. And you start serving your local marae now. You start learning te reo now. You start thinking about how you might shape the space you're in now. Even though your relationship with iwi might be a decade or 15 or 20 years away. Because it will become important. We know it will. It's at the heart of who we are as a nation. Yeah, and so it may not make a lot of sense now. Abraham, Sarah, leave your land, leave your family, leave your language behind and go and do something. That made no sense. Complete upheaval. And this would be I feel like I'm preaching. This would be a massive challenge for the church, for the Baptist churches in New Zealand. People of faith, churches of faith, they make decisions now that will impact the generations to come. And that's exactly where I put this conversation, in that now. We need to start working hard with Māori because of the future. We need to start expressing Māori tikanga now. So when that relationship is there, is built, is developed in the future. And that's a beautiful thing. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I don't think there's a greater honour. You know, he says, what did he say? I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. Imagine if God went around calling himself after you. I am the God of Adam, the God of Colleen. I am the God of Papua Nui Baptist Church. Imagine that. Yeah, people, churches that make big, bold, brave gospel decisions are the people that please God. That's a weird answer, I guess, a long answer. But that is why I would start learning te reo today.
You had a justice message yesterday when we had the similar question. I was wondering if you could.
I think a beautiful reason. So in this room, in this whare karakia, to stand and to mihi atu, to be able to engage in te reo rangatira, or te reo Māori, to be able to stand and greet in Māori, to use some kupu Māori, to use Māori words, is a way that, so seriously, you wouldn't have to have any Māori in the room. A lot of Baptists ask us, why would we want to speak in Māori if there's no one that understands Māori in the room? But by doing so, we're engaging in the reclamation of a treasure that our peoples have asked through the treaty, that we would care for the treasures, the heart language of ngā iwi Māori, of our people, the heart language that expresses location and belonging and connection is a treasure. And every time we stand in a certain circumstance, with or without Māori present in the room, we're upholding a commitment that someone else made for us. But that goes to be in New Zealand in the context of Aotearoa, we can fully participate in the protection, even the reclamation of this treasure, which is so deeply important to tangata whenua across our mortar, across our islands. Mm. It's a wonderful commitment to make. And it does give us a Jesus purpose to engage in it.
So what I hear is we have to be bold and courageous, and we have permission to do it. I suppose one of the picture that's coming to my mind as well is if we want to eat together, we don't wait until everybody's come to start preparing a meal. Yeah, we get in and start doing some mahi, knowing that it's the meal will come. Adam, another question?
No, I just, I like learning about culture. And again, living over in Cambodia, you had to learn to understand. To understand, you needed to learn. It's hard to understand a culture when you don't understand a language. And then you see how words are used. And then you go, actually, those words far better express what I want to say. So Colleen sometimes and I, we will speak in Khmer together in Cambodian language, because the word that's used is far richer and better. And as I'm discovering with today, I'm learning words that I go, man, that says it so much better. And I'm learning principles that are just expressed in a bit. That's what my heart wants to be and do. And then I see this value in Te Ao Māori. And I go, but that expresses what you wanted to say something there. No.
Just there is a word, a Khmer expression, birua. When I hear te reo spoken, to me it is birua. It's a Khmer phrase which just means it is pleasing to my ear, but it actually makes my heart jump and sing. But it doesn't have really an English equivalent, but I use a Khmer phrase to explain hearing te reo being spoken in our whare karakia. It's birua.
I wonder if you guys just want to open it up for you, if you have a final message for us. As we are on a journey, and we're on a fledgling journey, we are discovering what it looks like in our context. What does it look like for us, where we are going? We know there's not one pathway. It's like a braided river. There's many braids, and we have to find the braid in which we are floating on and how that looks for us. And again, we've not come to you saying, give us the answers of how to do this. We know it's a journey, and we're going to carry on our journey once you go. Are there any messages that you would like to give us to encourage us just on the way, or just a taonga you want to leave for us?
Yeah, I think I would mostly just want to say to you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving Jesus, Papa Nui Baptist Church, for many, many years. Thank you. And thank you for being so committed to the mission of God. It's been a wonderful couple of days to hear the heart of your pastors and to see some of the direction they're wanting to take you in. I think it's very good. I think Jesus must look down and smile. So I would want to encourage you in the journey that you are on. Thank you for what you're doing, but continue to be bold. And and be strong in who you are. as a leader, you have to know that you are a child of God. Yeah, in this journey, know who you are, celebrate who you are, remind one another who you are. Because, yeah, it's not a walk in the park. It's not an easy journey. I jotted down, can I just read three or four things that are happening around the country right now in the Baptist, wider Baptist family of churches that just might give you a glimpse or might spark something or might encourage you. We've got a young Baptist woman. She goes by the name of Jordan with a Y. You may be aware of her. She's just been nominated for one of the Silver Scrolls, you know, the New Zealand Music Awards. Yeah, so, and she's Baptist, but she's been using her music for language reclamation. But she's also been using it as a powerful tool to speak to justice and love. She's just what do you do with an album these days? Do you upload it or do you download? What do you do with music? I don't know. Who knows? But it's good. It's called Hibiscus. Hibiscus Moon, love and Justice, I think. This is a Baptist woman. This is gospel renewal. That's gospel renewal. The largest Baptist community service provider at the moment has just initiated at a CEO level a shared leadership model. Oh my goodness. They recognize the need for partnership and collaboration. That's gospel renewal. I love this one. The pastors of a Baptist church on the east coast of the North Island, the pastors are working the bar at the local rugby club. It's predominantly Maori, but they want to have a presence. I visited them about 4 weeks ago, and we walked down the main street of their town. Honestly, it just about took the whole morning. Everyone stopped them. Everyone knew them. Everyone wanted a blessing from them. Luke knows more about this one than me, but there's a Baptist church in Northland that's engaging with the local marae around food security, and they're using ancient knowledges and practices around sustainability. And the connection with Māori is enormous. They've just won a massive contract, financial contract, but they're working with gangs and they're feeding their community. That is gospel renewal. I could list a whole lot of people in our movement who have taken the year off work to go into what's the word I'm looking for, you know, where you just sink yourself into the language. Immersion. Yeah, because they want the future to be different. They want our nation to be different. They're driven by justice and restoration and reconciliation. That is gospel renewal. I encourage you. Don't miss out on this stuff. don't miss out on it. It's very exciting. So that would be my word. So of encouragement to you. Yeah.
And mine would be, don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. We're going to have to face our fears, and it's going to take the ministry of God's love to be able to allay our fears. We've come from a phenomenal climate that wants to push against that. The political correctness around languaging and all sorts of things have interfered with our capacity, but the church needs to be the church. And if the church can engage courageously in these journeys, then we're going to see what the psalmist in Psalm 133 talks about as being able to live in a place where we're connected and unified. We belong together. That's a powerful message, and it equals life. Life. And so we're going to have to engage in conversation where we might get it wrong, but it's all good to get it wrong because we just make a commitment to keep pursuing the journey. We're going to have to be on a journey of learning and exploration and inquiry, But that's a phenomenal thing to do together and in the presence of God. We will come out looking different. Change is difficult at times, but when we know that God is with us, that's the most beautiful outcome. This is my hope as Tangata Whenua. Wouldn't it be phenomenal if you could sit alongside many Māori in this whare karakia, in this church? Imagine being able to engage in anointing where the people could get healed. Imagine what it could be like if people came into a space like this and through relationships, restoration came to lives and families, and transformation could come to communities, because I believe that's what Jesus intends for his church. Imagine if Papa Nui Baptist Church could become part of an answer that heals the dividing wall, so that what we get to see in the chapter that's before the one that Charles read from, that we could introduce people to the Jesus that has broken down every dividing wall between our peoples and our cultures and our differences, and, as the scripture says, hostility. That's the work of the church. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus's church. And I would love to encourage you, as you hear the words te tiriti or waitangi, you might actually hear a different set of words, which might be the ministry of the work of the Holy Spirit at Papa Nui Baptist. When you hear of the bicultural journey, that you would hear the one who makes the two one, Jesus, who breaks down that dividing wall. Those are the beautiful things about the people of God, the family of God, the people of the way, the church. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus, who longs to bring peace.
Thank you. Kia ora.
Let's pray. Kia tau te rangi Mārie, ki runga I a koutou katoa I tēnei ata, may God's peace rest on you all. Te hāhi I riri o Papa Nui, Baptist Church, Papa Nui. Ki runga I tēnei whenua kura on the sacred land where you're found. Nō reira, kia tātou katoa te atawhai, which is grace. Tata whai o tō tātou āriki a iu karaiti me te aroha, love o te atua, the love of God. Me te whiwhinga tahitanga, te wairua tapu, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with you. Ko iu karaiti tō mātou kai whakaora. Jesus, our life giver, we're so grateful to you.
Wairua tapu kumai, nau mai kiko nei. Wairua tapu arahia, korero mai a wairu atapu ku mai. Nau mai ki konei.
Let's hear.
Wairu atapu arahia, korero mai a Holy Spirit, welcome. You are welcome here. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us.
Should we do it what, just one more time?
Holy Spirit, welcome. You are welcome here. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Wairu atapu kumai. Nau mai ki konei.
It's our prayer.
Wairu atapu arahia, korero mai ano.
Let's give these guys a hand. Thank you so much for coming. And yeah, thank you.